speak through Jeff, that his words would be your words. And Lord, that we would be revived and filled afresh this morning. Continue to work in us. We say yes to you, Lord. Amen.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? It is great to be with you. We got a little bit of rain, maybe some normal weather for us Northwesterners. So I know my wife's always excited when it rains. I've been married to her for nearly 30 years. I still don't quite understand that. Well, nonetheless, welcome to church. It's great to have you here this morning. And I want to start off with a story for you as we plunge into the Word this morning. And that would be the fact that in 1882, in a little town called Rosetto, Italy, things were getting tough economically for those families. Most of the men who worked there worked in the local quarry. And in 1882, the economy, at least in that part of the region of Italy, as you can see on the map where they're located at, was getting kind of tough, getting difficult. A lot of people, a lot of those men working at the quarry were losing the job. The quarry job was shutting down. The quarry was shutting down. So a lot of men were thrown out of work. Times were really tough. So true story, six men and one teenage boy decided that to take a journey, take a major risk, an adventure. They heard about America, land of opportunity, where there may be some jobs available. You know, now we just hop on an airplane and we can land over there. For them, it was a journey over the ocean, leaving their families to the eastern part of the United States in the hopes of finding work. Well, those six men and that one teenage boy did find work. They found work at a local quarry out in the middle of nowhere. There was no town really close nearby, but they started their own encampment and started working at a quarry. Now, things were going well. They sent word back. And so the following year, about another dozen or so men and some families now came over to the United States and began to find jobs. And soon enough, over the next 18 months to 2 years, a majority of the residents of Rosetto, Italy, had immigrated to a place in eastern Pennsylvania. So now the town in Rosetto, Italy was almost completely empty. And here was this community that was now a town, now being developed in eastern Pennsylvania. And there it is on the right. They're starting their own town, so what did they logically call it? What is also known as today is Rosetto, Pennsylvania. And so they were doing well. They developed their own town. There was a few other towns nearby, but not really close. They had their own town that they had developed. And it's been that way, by the way, for seven generations. That was in the early to mid-1880s. Let's fast forward now to the 1950s. A researcher by the name of Dr. Wolf from the University of Oklahoma, a medical researcher, had a presentation he was to give up in that part of eastern Pennsylvania. Not in this town, not in Rosetto, Pennsylvania, but in a region nearby. He came up and spoke, gave his presentation, and a doctor who services the families of Rosetto and neighboring towns said, Dr. Wolf, it's imperative that I speak with you. Can we go out? And they went out and over a beer together, this local doctor shared with Dr. Wolf some things that made Dr. Wolf, a leading researcher from the University of Oklahoma, jaw drop. This local doctor said, you're not going to believe it, and I can't explain it, Dr. Wolf, but I know you're a researcher. You might have some answers for me. The townsfolk of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, are the healthiest people I've ever seen in my life. He goes, well, tell some more. And if you recall, I realize none of you are around the 1950s, so I'll give you a little bit of history. In the 1950s, the number one health challenge was cardiovascular issues, heart attacks. That was the number one thing that our medicine was trying to grapple with. We've done so much research and work on it now, it's not the number one threat, but back then it certainly was. And this local doctor said, I rarely see anyone come to my office from Rosetto under the age of 65 with any kind of medical problem. any kind. In fact, we have, in Rosetto, there is zero cardiovascular disease or illness. Now, the neighboring towns, it's the national average, but I can't explain it. Something's going on in Rosetto I cannot explain. Well, this got this researcher very intrigued. He left Oklahoma, took on the research project to take a look at Rosetto, Pennsylvania. What was going on in that town? Well, peeling back the onion, he discovered even more. He discovered these people were incredibly healthy in all regard. They not only do they ever rarely go to the doctor for anything, they had the lowest suicide rate of any community in the eastern United States at that time. There is no alcoholism problem. Hardly anyone ever said that they were depressed about anything. Now Dr. Wolf was more intrigued. He actually called more researchers from the University of Oklahoma and other research teams from around the U.S. and descended upon the town of Rosetto. What was going on? Why are these people so healthy? Can we replicate it if we can discover out the problem? And they spent months going into years trying to understand what was going on in Rosetto. Nearly everyone in the town volunteered for a medical exam for this research project. Everybody in the town got an EKG, electrocardiogram, right? People got their blood drawn. They couldn't figure it out. They could not find. They went and did a genealogy search. They went to the family members of these people who didn't live in that town to see if they had the same impact on them. Well, no. People who are related in these other towns were having the same health issues everyone else in America was. Something unique was going on in Rosetto. They said, well, they've got like a little farmer's market. It must be the fruits and vegetables they're eating. So they tested the fruits and vegetables. Then they went into the soil and tested the soil and found out, you know, it's the same soil here that's in the neighboring town, so it's not in the soil. They realized it's not genealogy, it's not genetics, it's not DNA. It went on and on and on. They were doing all kinds of interviews. They were stumped as to what was going on. Until one day when Dr. Wolf, our researcher from the University of Oklahoma, closed up his shop in the heart of the town and decided he was going to take a walk the long way back to his car. As he began his walk, he didn't have to go very far for his own eyes to see the reason for this amazing health epidemic in the town of Rosetto that had been going on for generations. And in just a little while, I'm going to share with you what he discovered. First, I want to welcome you this morning. It's great to have you in church. We're in a series in the middle of Hebrews. We're at Hebrews 12 today. And that story, I believe, I'm going to come back to is completely germane to what we've been talking about as a church community today. So in conjunction with Hebrews, we've been having, I call it in our family, the Big Box Challenge. Right, we're all familiar with that. So it's the leadership teams encourage us, Pastor Randy. It's on God's on God's heart that we have a church, engage our community, engage our neighbors, and invite them to come barbecue and have them come for a Bible study. Exciting, challenging, a little daunting. How many of you want to? If you feel free, raise your hand. Have a box. How many of you? You don't have to answer this question. How many of that box is sitting in your living room or the den, staring at you when you walk by it? Thank you. I appreciate the honesty in the back. Okay. How many think that, how many have never been so scared of a box in your entire life? The fear of the box, right? But here we are, and that's the challenge before us. So really what I want to do today is really give you some encouragement as we move into Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 here in just a moment, some encouragement and some hope as we move forward with this, what God has clearly put on Randy's heart and our leadership team's heart, and that we are to embrace and to change Duval for a vision of 2020. So I just want to, just for a few minutes, share with you some hope that God would have for me and for you today, and then an awesome testimony right up here about how it's already working in one local neighborhood. So we're going to do that because it's so imperative, I believe, we have as Christ followers to get out and spread out. Did you know Christians are like manure? It's true. Christians are like manure. See, the more we spread out, beautiful things grow. But if we all come into one big place, it's going to stink over time. So with that encouragement, let's look at Hebrews. Oh, it gets better, trust me. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, I'm going to read it. Therefore, it's up on the screen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race that marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. I absolutely love that passage. We're going to now go ahead and unpack that. And the first thing we want to take a look at is, what in the world are we referring to when he says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses? So when you see something, my wife's an English teacher, so she says, when you see therefore, it's really referring to something that had happened or come before that. In this case, I'm going to pull this up and read it to you, what the therefore is. Therefore. So it's the verses right before this one. I'm going to go ahead and read them to you. We've unpacked them and looked at them in the last few weeks, so I'm going to read it to you just as a reminder if I can find it. Excuse me. Where am I at? And I'll be in good shape. And this is verse 12 in chapter 11 and forward. And what shall I say to you in Hebrews? For time would fall to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of Jabin, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weaknesses, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. So the therefore are those ones who've come before us, the ones who are in heaven, the ones, the conquerors, the overcomers, the heroes of the Old Testament, and by the way, those who we know who love Jesus and gone home to be with the Lord are also part of that great crowd of witnesses. So essentially, the great crowd of witnesses is those who've gone before us who are now in heaven. Are witnesses important? Are witnesses important? Anyone been on a jury before? A few of you. I don't know why my number seems to come up, but I've been on three juries. I've been a jury foreman on two of them. I don't know why, how my number comes. It just has. It's been pretty interesting. I can't tell you I have a ton more faith in our jury system or our justice system, but it was certainly a fascinating thing. One thing I noticed on all three juries that I sat on is that everyone was pretty attentive. All my fellow jurors were pretty attentive to the evidence, to what was going on. Some, there was, we've had blood evidence in one jury as part of it, and it was, a little gruesome, but nonetheless, it was part of the evidence. But I tell you what I noticed about my fellow jurors, the most in tune time they were listening, when there was a witness on the witness stand. No one was fidgeting. Everybody was listening. It seems to me, at least in my experience, that the witness is incredibly important. And I think that's why it's stressed here in the scripture mentioned here, because the witnesses, those who have gone before us, can play such an incredible role, and I'll explain to you in just a moment. Point number two, at least what I believe is the importance of witnesses, and surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, is a source of tremendous encouragement and strength that we can get from witnesses. Some good friends of ours, the Amsberrys, I live in Monroe, some of you may know them. Jeff, the dad, and two of his sons have been training and have been running in Ironman competition. You know, familiar with an Ironman competition? You swim in very cold water at 0:30 in the morning for 2.5 miles. Then you hop on a bike and you bike for 105 miles. Then you cap that off with a 26-mile marathon run. Doesn't that just sound lovely? I'm like, guys, I'm totally behind you on that. And I was talking to Trevor. Trevor's Jeff's son. Trevor is 21, asking him about his experience. His first time he ran the Canadian triathlon up in British Columbia. And I asked him about his experience. And so I interviewed him this week about the importance of witnesses to him, those have gone before him in that race and that crowd that was there for him. And here's a picture of him. His mom took that picture of Trevor to his back. Can you see it going towards the finish line? I found that to be a really powerful picture. You see, he started the race 14 hours earlier that day. 14 hours. He started in the dark, and he ended in the dark. And I just thought that was a very powerful picture, so I asked him about it. And what he said, I found very interesting and very encouraging. And this is, I'm quoting him, you can read along with, this is what he said. Jeff, as I got closer to the finish line, the crowd got louder and I started getting an adrenaline rush. The last mile is all through the village, and there are people everywhere shouting out, encouraging me. You're almost there. You did it. You're an inspiration. It was really rewarding. Can you imagine him going through the town? He's in Whistler, running, and here's this great crowd clapping and encouraging him as he continues on his journey. The last thing he said to me was the most profound for me in this. And he says this, it was like the crowd was propelling me towards the finish line. And for me, I think that's incredibly important. When we read that, unpack that first part of that verse, the great crowd of witnesses are there to encourage us, to remind us we can be joining them with them once our race is completed. So the first point today would be encouraged to act by those who've gone before us. You have notes in front of you if you'd like to use them. This verse in Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What I loved about what Trevor did, he goes, it doesn't matter. It wasn't going to give up. It was that crowd. So many of those had gone before me, had finished the race. They were there. They were encouraging me. They were egging me on. They were totally telling me how an awesome job I was doing. And so, with the great crowd of witnesses, encourage us in our endeavor to reach our community for the love of Jesus Christ. I was talking to Randy earlier this week, and he gave me permission to share this with you. But I know Randy was telling me for him and his family, one of the great sources of encouragement in terms of moving on with their life and growing and loving God and doing outreach with their community is knowing part of that great crowd of witnesses is Debbie. Debbie, if you know, was so in that hospital room and most of her life, was so much in tune and wanting to connect with those who don't know Jesus. And now she has that great crowd of witnesses, and Randy just sharing with me how encouraging it is to him and his family. So we have a great crowd of witnesses that we can rely on, know they're there, and we can be there with them once our race is done, once we are finished with whatever God has for us in reaching our community with the love of God. Well, the next thing I want to share, number two, is let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So number two, sometimes we must put some things aside. In Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. What happens when you commit to something? Do other things kind of go to the side? Yeah, when you commit to something, when you're all in, other things that might have been really important, or at least temporarily, no longer so important. Recently, there was a series of books I really wanted to read, and so I was all in on those books, so much so, I'm a huge Seahawks fan, so much so, I did not watch one of the Seahawks preseason games. Guys, I've confessed my sin, and I thank Jesus for DVR. So there you go. But I found myself, I was so into reading these books of really good stuff that some other things kind of went to the side. So sometimes we need to, when we commit, realize some things that maybe aren't going to matter for a while, at least for a while, and be committed and focused on the task ahead, such as connecting with our neighbors, inviting them over for a barbecue, and then asking them to be part of a Bible study. Well, I'll tell you this, athletes, as we've already seen with Trevor, athletes go to great lengths to minimize the things that'll slow them down. I know these guys, another friend of mine, Stacy, she does Ironmans all over, and she's done the one in Hawaii, she's done all over the place, and she has lightweight equipment, because if you're an athlete, you want to be weighted down, right? And she has, and I know others like her, have a bicycle, a 10-speed bike, they run race, part of this Ironman thing they do. You can pick up like this with a finger. It's just like, it's a bicycle. I don't know what it's made out of, feathers? I don't know, but I don't know, understand titanium alloy if it fell out of the sky and hit me in the head. I just know it's incredibly light. I'm like, that's the kind of bike I want. So one thing athletes do, they want lightweight equipment. The second thing they do, maybe you need to trim down, right? Maybe you need to kind of lose some of that weight. Dave Matthews, the six-time Ironman winner in Hawaii, which is like the cream of the cream. He's won it six times. He's so dedicated and committed to his cause to keep fat out of his diet, he rinses his cottage cheese. Now, is that, crazy, but is that commitment? That's total commitment to his cause. And then some either shave all their body hair, right? Now, for some of us, losing your hair might not seem like a big deal as I look around the room, but swimmers do that because they don't want anything to slow them down. So for us, in our pursuit of our community, It might mean throwing a few things off, as Scripture talks about. It might mean throwing a few things off. As you think about it, maybe, you know what, I'm really distracted by this relationship. I'm distracted by this activity. You're dealing with a distraction in order to engage your neighborhood. Maybe there's doubt, anxiety, or fear. Or my favorite one for me is procrastination. You know, I'm going to do it at some point. Trust me, I will. Right? Or you put it off. Sometimes it doesn't get done because you put it off so long. So here's what I want you to do. You have a piece of paper in front of you. Hopefully there's some pens around you. If not, you can borrow one. But what I'd like you to do, just basically take a few minutes. And I'm going to invite a couple of guests up here to share with us. But what I want you to do is to take just a minute, and I want you to just take a few. We have plenty of time. Take the few minutes. And what do you need to throw off? What do you need? Scripture says, I'll read again. Let us throw off everything that hinders or that can so easily entangle. As you think about it, you got your box staring at you in your living room, right? Maybe you procrastinated and haven't picked up your box yet, and that's cool. But what I want you to do is take a few minutes and think about the things that are hindering you from moving this forward in your life. Making that invitation, connecting, asking for a barbecue, knocking on a few neighbors' door. Just take a few minutes. What is it? It could just be one thing. I recommend just write down one thing. What is the one thing that is preventing you or holding you up, snagging you, or entangling you, as Scripture says, from doing that? Then I want you to take a moment after you write that down. And then in just a few minutes, I'm going ahead and pray for all of us over what you've written down, and then we're going to move on. So I shouldn't see anybody looking at me. I should see people looking down and writing. My wife's school teacher makes kids put their heads on their desk. We can do that. So at least be thinking about what is that one thing preventing you? And then we're going to pray here in just a moment. Everybody have something? If you didn't have it written down, at least you have it in your mind. I'll give you another, see a few people still writing, so I'll give you another minute or so. So God, we just commit these things to you. Lord, for me, I know it can be procrastination. I'm going to get to it. Lord, help me to move that forward now. God, help me in my procrastination. Speak to that, Lord, and just completely move through that and through your Holy Spirit overcome that. Lord, as each person here reflects on where they are, and some of us have moved forward and done, reached out and thank you, God. I know you're going to honor those things. But for some of us, Lord, who haven't quite done that, God, just speak to whatever's been in their mind or written down on that paper that's holding them up, that's entangling them from moving that forward. So, God, we put that before you. And, God, would you just speak to that right now? Speak to each of our hearts, Lord, about what you'd have us do. Give us that boldness and that heart to step out and to move forward, God, and to take that next step. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, we have a couple here this morning. Come on up, guys, the Matthews, Doug and Janice. I'm really excited to have them come up because they've taken the big box challenge. and like for them to come up and share their experience. Yes, exactly, yes. Share what happened, what did you guys do, what was that experience like? It'd really be great.
So we just moved into our neighborhood mid-May of this year, so we haven't been there that long. And so one of the natural fears was, we don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've met, I think, two or three neighbors. Looking at our property, it's kind of a weird shape, and there's 10 lots that butt up against ours. And so, you know, we're just praying about how to do this. You know, right out of the gate, have a big fight about when to have it. it's going to be opposed. Part of that's maybe I'm a procrastinator and she's not. I don't know. In this case, I hadn't even begun to procrastinate yet. So anyway, last Sunday, we set as the date. And we started out going around and figuring we'd invite those 10 people that butted up against us. Hey, there's our 10, right? We're supposed to get 10. But that didn't include, you know, a lot of the people that were across the street and that we'd be running into here and there, you know, mailboxes and whatnot like that. So ended up filling in some of the gaps. And so we set out a week in advance, which is maybe a little bit short notice, but it's what worked for us. Mm. And started going around delivering invitations, which was a little scary. Mm-hmm. You know, in some cases, you know, we're out in rural Duval and people have long driveways and gates and dogs and they like their privacy. Mm-hmm. But we pushed through that and went and we met a few people, dropped a few off. I think the next day Janice went out on her bicycle and, you know, decided that, okay, we've got those 10 dealt with almost, but you know, that's leaving a lot of gaps, and so she filled in the gaps. We ended up inviting 28 families. Wow. Over. Wow. An area of, I think it was about 80 acres, and invited them to come for a barbecue. Hmm. And out of that, we got 7 families showed up and had really a fantastic time meeting some of those people and getting to know them. It was a really good time.
So I have to say the fear part was the most intimidating factor because, I don't know, I got something in my background that tells me you don't go to people's houses unless you're invited. Mm. And we were not invited. But the comment we got from a lot of people as we were knocking on their doors was, well, everybody pretty much keeps to themselves out here. Mm. And most of those people didn't come, but we did know a lot of them that were busy. But with every person, once we approached them, there was an initial kind of, whoa, what's someone doing here in my front yard? Because this just doesn't happen. We really did have good conversations with them, and they felt welcomed, and I'm hoping that the rest of those 21 families that didn't come might eventually, you know, make their way towards our home. Mm. And into community. But the people that did come and the experiences we had were really kind of cool because you saw community happening. There were a couple of sets of grandmas and grandpas, and there were three families with kids. And so you could see people sharing the hard things that were in their lives, that the losses that they'd had. I mean, right away, we were learning really meaningful things about each other. And then one fella in particular had a broken rib that just was not healing. And another neighbor had had that before, and she had some herbs in her garden that she used to cure herself. So she goes home, and she packs up a bunch of this comfrey, brings it back, and she's telling everybody how to, you know, manufacture a compress so that it can get better. And so we're all learning, you know, some herbal medicine and right away pitching in to help each other. And wow. One family just got a new apple press or apple cider press at a garage sale. And we happened to have some apples and we're like, let's have a community apple cider party, you know, and just different things like that happening. And once we got over that initial fear, I think it kind of became contagious. Mm-hmm. And the fun connecting with people way more outbalanced the fear that there was beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I even found myself approaching a strange lady on the road who's been walking. I've been watching her walk. And I think she walks every day, and I happen to be biking by, and I'm like, oh, there she is. I want to meet this lady. But I didn't want to freak her out. She's got her headset on, and I'm coming up behind her. But I just, the brave part, the stepping out part, kind of inspired me to do it again. Mm. And I have to tell you, I think I just made a really great friend. We totally hit it off, and we're going to start walking. And together, we're starting to walk on Wednesdays.
Oh, wow. That's
and
awesome.
Have invited other ladies to join us. So,
awesome.
You know, it is contagious, and the community and the connecting, even the kids were like, will you come over to my house and climb a tree with me? And they're giving stuff to the boys. And I just have to say, I was so proud of my boys and how they were not excited about this. They were like, okay, we'll do it, you know. But they did an awesome job engaging with adults and kids, and we would do it again.
What surprised you most about this experience that you guys had? For both of you or either one of you, what did you find the most surprising? Maybe you weren't anticipating.
Well, I grew up in the country where you did not go past that gate. And if you did, you might be met with a loaded weapon. Mm-hmm. And our daughter had even been bit by our former neighbor's dog. So there was just a lot of, So as we're going into gates, I mean, I literally was just praying, okay, Lord, just help. The dogs are all locked up, because you could hear them. And I guess I was surprised that nobody chased us off. They were all pretty welcoming.
Yeah. How are you, Doug?
I guess the thing that surprised me is, I mean, you think guys and, you know, what we talk about, especially when we're in new situations, and we'll gravitate towards sports and the weather and all sorts of other deep, meaningful things, not. And, you know, the conversations with the guys, well, you know, we certainly didn't get down to the heart level in this first go. It seemed a lot more meaningful than I would have expected.
Yeah, that when you say that, that's really gratifying and exciting and surprising. That, like you guys shared, the depth that family people went into immediately, right? That's really awesome. Yeah. Anything else? In words of encouragement to the rest of us, based on your experience. Anything else you want to share?
A couple little logistic things, like things that I would have done different. We didn't use a lot of stuff in the box. We used the name tags, which didn't have any adhesive really on them. So that was a topic conversation starter, I guess. But our flyers, I put an RSVP on there, and I wish I had not. I wish I had just put our name and phone number to call for questions, because I think that could have made people hesitate. Oh, I didn't RSVP, so I can't go. I wanted people to come just whenever, whatever, just show up, you know, bring neighbors we didn't invite. It's totally fine. And then I wish we chose to do a bring your own meat, because with the amount of people we invited, we could have had over 100 people. Mm-hmm. And the last barbecue we had, Doug was, where we didn't say that, Doug was at the grill the whole time. And it actually worked really well to have them bring their own meat, but I wished we'd also written on there that we would provide buns and condiments and things that they didn't feel like they had to haul. Everyone brought a cooler with all kinds of stuff. But it did work really well, because we were having conversation over the barbecue, and Doug was totally freed up to engage with people,
awesome.
Which I think was good.
Great.
And, yeah.
Awesome.
So just expect it to be opposed. Expect your enemy to not want this to go well, to not want it to happen, to drag up the fears out of your heart, to spark vigorous, intense fellowship with your wife as you get this thing sorted out. Do warfare. And, you know, just I would just say push through it, and you know, it's going to turn out to be much more of a blessing than the amount of pain that you might experience in the process.
Thank you so much to you both. Thank you for sharing. It's awesome. Thank you so much. Doug and Janice, thank you. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that great? And the logistic information is good too. You know, I think what that speaks of in our community, in our greater community across the U.S., there's so much less with online and, you know, technologies. There's a lot less just human connection going on amongst neighbors. And so thank you guys for sharing. That was awesome. The third point I want to make as we move forward with this is let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. You know, endurance is a necessary quality, and we need to think long-term. Paul wrote of the importance of a patient continuance in doing his will and in Romans, and then Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance so that you have done the will of God, that you may receive the prize." So Scripture tells us the need of endurance is really important. And Jesus speaks of it too in the parables of the sower in Luke chapter 8, in preparing the disciples for their work in Matthew 10, and then how Scripture can help us with that in Romans 15:4. And I believe some of those verses are listed there for you. You know, this last week, my oldest son and I, we traveled to Florida. I had a conference to attend, and my oldest son Matthew got to go with me. So we went to Orlando, but we took a day trip over to Daytona Beach. And at Daytona Beach, you're familiar with the Daytona 500? The Daytona 500, went by it, drove right past it. That thing is huge. I cannot believe. It's probably the size of Safeco and the Clink times like two. I mean, it's monstrous. A 2.5-mile track, 200 laps to get around the thing, on average 3.5 hours to get to. And as I was going by, I did a little bit of reading about the Daytona 500, and the really interesting thing is that people have won that race, even though they start out in last place. You see, it's an endurance race. Where you start the Daytona 500 doesn't really matter, because really the people who have the pole position usually don't win the race. You can be in last place in Daytona to start the race, or even halfway through the race, someone's won it at that position. So that's what I want to encourage you with that. The fact that what we're asking to do, it's an endurance. You know, the Matthews have already had, you know, got launched, they started, and God bless you guys for doing that. Some of the rest of us are like, you know, I haven't picked up my box yet, or my box is at home, or the thought of doing that kind of freaks me out. I'm behind. Why should I do it now? Someone's already done. Why should I move forward? Because it doesn't matter where you end. It doesn't matter how you start. It's all in the finish. So you haven't quite done this yet. It's okay. You got plenty of time. The clock's not ticking. We're not grading on a curve or grading at all. Okay? It's okay. If you haven't moved forward quite yet, you have all the time in the world. And then lastly, let us fix our eyes on Jesus so that we'll not grow weary and lose heart. Number four, we need to stay focused on Jesus. He is the beginning and the end, the first and last, the Alpha and the Omega. He's everything. And as we wait on the Lord, we will not grow weary or faint. If we focus everything on Jesus, we will not grow weary, we will not go faint, we can move forward, we can engage and win this community for Jesus. And then we know Jesus has dealt with all of the issues that the enemy would want to throw at him, that the enemy also wants to throw at us. Jesus has been there before. He suffered humility on the cross, he suffered painfully, and Hebrews 11 says. But at the end of the day, Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, go therefore, make disciples of all nations and baptize them to win them to Jesus. So the question I'm going to ask again in a moment is, what kind of community do we want at Adventure Community Church? What kind of community do we want, and what will be the result? I start off with the story of the mystery of Rosetto, and once the mystery was resolved, there's actually a term for it. It's called, and it's true, the Rosetto Effect. You can Google it, the Rosetto Effect. Dr. Wolf, all this research, everything he put into understanding blood work, EKGs, x-rays, soil samples, he left his office one evening and took a walk out into the neighborhoods for the first time of Rosetto. What he saw astounded him and ended up being the answer to why everyone in that town was so incredibly healthy. He walked out, and he would do it continuously for some nights. He walked out and he saw neighbors engaged with each other. neighbors coming over for dinner, neighbors knocking on each other's door, neighbors helping neighbors, engaging each other, generations of different generations coming together in the evenings after mom and dad go home from work as a community in the neighborhoods, they were coming together to meet and to fellowship. That ended up being the answer why everyone in that community was so healthy. The Rosetta effect. When a community or neighbors are so engaged in helping each other out, stress, anxiety, sickness, and illness disappears. What kind of community do we want? The community in Rosetta is a community that's so into helping each other, the net result is amazing health. Our efforts is to engage our neighbors to introduce them the person of Jesus Christ. The net result, more people experiencing the love and power of Christ, having someone who's with them at all times, Jesus, and then spending an eternity in heaven. Wayne Gretzky once said, a good hockey player skates to the puck. A great hockey player skates to where the puck is going to be. Doesn't matter where you're at now with any of this, but where do you want to be? Where do we want adventure to be in 5 years and 20 years? Where do you want your family to be in your neighborhood in 6 months, a year, or 5 years from now? What do you want it to look like? Well, we have some help for you and help you to move along some. Later in October, we're going to have a class on how to share your faith without losing your friends. I'm going to find that very, very helpful. Know what you really believe. What do Christians have to do with our culture and events, the Truth Project, and personal disciple making? So we're going to have some tools available to you this fall, and we'll be hearing more about that, correct, Pastor Andy? Awesome. More about that. So lastly, in conclusion, I have some announcements. I just wrote this down. I said, we want to run the race with endurance as we partner together to win our community for Christ. Wouldn't it be cool, gang? Because I'll tell you what, 50 years later, they're still doing research about the Rosetta effect. Wouldn't it be cool in 50 years they're doing a study on the Duval effect because of what a church has done out in their community, connecting and reaching people for the cause of Christ? Wouldn't that be awesome, the Duval effect? I think so. How about you? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you so much for your word. God, thank you so much that you love us and you gave us your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And God, anyone here who has not experienced the love of Christ, Lord, have them know that that opportunity is available to them today. God, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of our leadership and Pastor Randy, stirring all of us, God, to a greater awareness, and certainly in me, Lord, greater awareness to our community. I thank you for Doug and Janice, God, for their heart and stepping out in faith and the way they're touching their community. I thank you for them, how much it encourages me. We love you, God. I thank you so much for adventure. I thank you so much for where you're positioning this wonderful work of yours in this community for this day and time. Strengthen all of us, enthuse all of us, and God, we thank you so much. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
I better grab a mic. There's so much of what Jeff said that impacted me. I think probably the most relevant thing internally, though, for my story is to do the invitation to the community. That part of the message that Jeff did, where he talked about these triathletes shave their bodies, they throw off, you know, they get a light bike, all these different things. And I think the biggest challenge for me to do the block party is all the other stuff I have focused in my life on. There's so many things, you know what I mean? I'm fixing my daughter's car, and I got to spend time on that, and I've got tons of things with church, different meetings I'm involved in, and on and on and on, projects after projects, right? And what he said in the message is, when you get focused on something, it requires you to put other stuff aside to head toward that one thing. And honestly, that, I think, might be the biggest reason why many didn't take a box, didn't decide to step out in their community. And the challenge I want to bring to you, if you're one of those people, is, you know, you might find that if you decide to focus on this thing, and again, this is not the method from heaven that hath come down to reach the community. Okay, this is a method. I love it when what Ryan from Crossroads said when he was here. He said, this is something to get that rusty wheel moving. He said, I don't know about you, but I need something to push me to reach out. Otherwise, I'll drive into my garage, press the button, and the garage door will close behind my car, and it's just me and my family, right? I need something to push me, and this has been awesome for that. And so if you haven't taken a box, there's 6 left. Take a box. Start praying for your community. Step out. Yes, push stuff aside. It will wait. You can get back to it. It's not that much of a time commitment, actually. But it does require a heart focus. It does require a heart shift to reach out. And we all need to take that heart shift. The other thing that Jeff said that really hit me was the end passage where it says, keep your eyes on who? Fixed on who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I don't know about you, but every time I go spend time with God, this is probably not every time, but often when I go spend time with God, I go with a lot of me's. My issue, my struggle with this, my problem with that, my person that I'm upset with, or my low self-esteem issue, or whatever it is, and I'm going to God and I'm crying out to him. I spend time with Jesus. I get his heart more, and almost universally every time, my mind, when I leave that time with the Lord, I'm more focused on others because I've been with him, and he is. Have you ever noticed that? When you spend time with the Lord, you come out caring about other people more. Haven't you noticed that shift in you? It's required for us to spend time with the Lord to have this. What's it like to be with Jesus? If you're with Jesus, if you hang out with Jesus, you're going to start caring about other people outside of maybe the body of Christ, outside of your circle. You're going to start wanting to reach out. If you notice you don't have a lot of desire to reach out, you might ask, how much time have I been spending with Jesus lately? I bet there's a direct correlation. So anyway, way to go, Jeff. That was awesome. And I'm going to go home and pray through my community, my neighborhood again after this, and get my invitations out. On that, a couple of things I want to share with you by way of announcements. Can we have the ushers come forward for our time of offering? Just want to give you a few minutes to prepare for that. So if we could have the ushers, are you it today? Dude, you rock. You are man. You can handle it. So before you guys go, we'll give you guys a couple of minutes as I go through some of these announcements to kind of prepare your offering. Also, we would love for you to take one of the connection cards and fill it out and just give us prayer requests, what's happening with you, updates on anything that you could communicate to us that we would need to know as a church. There's tons of things in there for you to get information on. And so we would love for you to fill that out. Also, Jeff hinted last week that we have we may move the worship and prayer night, which was scheduled for the 4th. Now, guess what else is scheduled for the night of the 4th? And Green Bay. Okay, so here's the thing. We can only ask so much of the body of Christ, okay? So we're moving it to Tuesday night, the 9th. Because I don't have TiVo, and so if I'm going to see it, I'm going to see it. So no, we don't want to compete with that. And so we want to have it Tuesday night, September 9th. That's lead team night. And the way we're going to set this up is we're just going to invite you guys to join lead team. You're going to kind of experience a lot of what happens at lead team with worship and prayer and listening to the Lord. And, okay, my son, have you guys ever heard of the game Halo? Okay, Halo, you're this person with this gun and you run around in armor and somebody shoots you and you die-ish, you disappear, and then you regenerate somewhere. You're back alive, okay? And my son, Elliot, which I'll probably have to give $2 to share this with, when I play Halo with Elliot, I run for about 5 steps and I'm dead. And then I'm alive again somewhere else. And then I run five more steps, 10 steps, and I'm dead. And I don't see it coming, okay? I don't know where he was, but I'm somehow just constantly just dead. And then once in a while, I'll catch up to him, and I'll almost get a shot off, and I'm dead. So do you know what happens to the heart when you experience that? I have, at times, thrown the controller at the TV, and luckily did not destroy the TV. But you get pretty discouraged, okay? What we've been asking as a leadership team, Lord, what's going on with Adventure? I mean, where is Adventure stuck? What are things that are happening in this body? We've been a church for 10 years, and we've seen so many wonderful things. And we've been a church for 10 years that has been running. I mean, we make things happen. We've got ministries all over the world, crazy things happening. And what we've realized, what the Lord kind of spoke to our hearts is there's been a lot of that sort of we get up, run, and then somebody it knocks you down. You get up, run a little more. Pretty soon, with the blows we've taken over the last few years, there's this, why get up? Why, you know what I mean? It's like, is it really going to make, as soon as I get up and run, somebody's going to get shot. You know what I mean? Okay, and I know that's a serious thing. What we've invited the Lord into that as a lead team, and he said, invite me to heal you. Come together and let me father you in losses. And so we're going to do that. That's September 9th. This is a worship and prayer night to not miss, okay? It's going to be a lot of soaking before the Lord time. If you have experienced blows with the last few years, you need to not miss this time, okay? The other thing that I want to tell you is on the 28th, this is not up here, on the 28th of September, the night of the 28th, no, 25th, Thursday night of the 25th. What'd I say? What day? 25th. You'll get more on this. One Voice is back, okay? And so all the churches are coming together to worship together. And at this point, it looks like it's at Stillwater Elementary. So we want to invite you to just get that on your radar, okay? And then the other thing is on September 7th, Sunday morning, is that next week? Wow. Service in the park, okay? So we are going to be down, like we will not be here. We'll be down there 10 o'clock, okay? Now, what if it's rainy? Or what if it is like today, maybe going to be rainy? 8:30 is the deadline, okay? Look on our website, adventurecommunitychurch.com. There will be, if it's not rainy, we're going to have it. If it's iffy, I mean, I don't know how many years I've been down there, and it's like the clouds, it's sprinkly, it's 7, I'm praying for the sky to break, you know, and at 8 o'clock it breaks, and, you know, so just watch the web, 8:30, make your final decision. We'll have a big posting on the website, we're on or not on, okay? If we're not on, it's normal schedule here. Each family bring a main dish to serve 8 people, and if you're A through M, last name, bring a dessert, serves 8. If you're N through Z, bring a salad, serves 8. Paper products are provided. Also, on the 14th, the summer schedule for elementary is over, and the fall kickoff happens, and there's all new programming and stuff happening with that. Just want to let you know that's happening. And then also, Discovery Bible Study Training. You may have heard it called obedience-based Bible study training, okay? That is an in-house term. I've had so many people come to me, are you really calling it obedience-based Bible study? What a drag. You know, that sounds so lame. Yes, that's in-house. And obedience-based Bible study is it's an in-house term just in terms of training. The idea is that the moment somebody obeys God's word, which the last thing you ask the Bible study attendees is, what is God asking us to do here? Oh, he wants us to forgive our neighbor. Okay, who wants to obey that this week? The moment somebody obeys God, the spiritual lights start turning on. That's why it's called obedience-based Bible study. Because at the end, there's always an obedience step asked. But we're calling it, you can call it whatever you want, discovery Bible study when you're inviting your neighbors. Okay? So when you're stepping out, Like, I'm going to say, hey, the Grants and another neighbor and us are going to have a neighborhood Bible study on Tuesday nights. Do you guys want to come? That's going to be how we're going to promote it. It won't be Tuesday night because that's lead team. Anyway, and then MOPS is coming. So I want to pray for the offering. And while Nicole comes up here, and she's going to just share a few things about MOPS, okay? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the way that you have pulled things together. And Lord, thank you for Jeff's message. Thank you for the way you put on his heart all the relevant things that I need to hear today. Lord, thank you for the way you've provided for us as a church. And Lord, you've brought this community together and to become a force that is changing the world all over the place. And Lord, we want to see more. Lord, we want to fix our eyes on you, the author of our faith. And Lord, we want to bring you to everybody. So Lord, I pray that you would move our hearts, as this is a different direction. This is a different tack in Adventure's history that you've called us to. Lord, we pray that you would rise up the sleeping giant that is Adventure Church and cause it to be a force for this area to reach people who don't know you. Lord, thank you for your all your gifts to us, and we want to give back to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to get those going around, and if you could just pass them back in your sections. And are you going to talk first or video first? Okay, so we're going to start out with the video, and then we're going to follow that up.
Love my new lipstick. Hashtag sexy mama. Oh, I just love this color. Oh, everybody's going to want to know about this. Hey, Instagram. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, yeah. Making my own laundry detergent from scratch today. Hashtag thank you, Pinterest.
Mix it together. Hope I didn't add too much.
Okay, here we go. Lunchtime. Hashtag blueberries. Hashtag spaghetti. Hashtag all organic. Hashtag cutest baby ever. Hashtag I am the best mom ever. Hashtag. Oh my goodness. All right, we're going to make some brownies today. Are you so excited to help your mama? Hey, look right here. Put the whisk right in front of you. Look right here and say cheese. Right here. Look at me. Look at mommy. Say cheese. What are you saying?
Good to whisker.
What? Cheese. Just say cheese. Mama! Kenton, no.
Oh my goodness.
It's really easy to kind of create a persona for ourselves when we're on social media and the internet. And I think a lot of times we kind of like to give off the image that we're really creative and we've got it all together and we have this thing figured out and we can do it by ourselves, which just isn't true. So I think when we show up in real life, we're all real moms, and we have real messes and real chaos and a lot of things going on in our life. And it's awesome. There's a lot of awesome things. You know, we're raising awesome, beautiful babies and children, and there's a lot of blessing there, but it's also really hard when you try to do it by yourself and when you try to keep a mask on that I don't really need anybody and I can do this by myself. And anyway, so I just wanted to tell you that there's something that you can do about that. We are starting a program in the fall, MOPS, and the great thing about MOPS is that we're all designed to live in community, and we're all designed to live our life together. And MOPS is a